number four on the agenda, the budget adjustment. And Chris, I think you're going to lead us off with that, correct?
I am, Mr. Chairman. Thank you. Good afternoon, Commissioners. Chris Peterson, Finance Officer for your Gainesville and Parks Department. Mr. Chairman, what we have for you today is a short but hopefully exciting little discussion on the budget. As we push through June this month, we will be wrapping up our fiscal year 2021 in state government and for our Gainesville and Parks Department. That also means that by the time we get back around to see all of you again in July, we will have entered our fiscal year 2022 budget for all of state government, our department included. So, Mr. Chairman, just to take you back in time a little bit, in our budget process, we start late summer, early fall with doing our budget analysis, year-end reporting, those kind of things, and working with your budget subcommittee within the commission. And then that information goes through a lengthy process and review with the governor's office, her budget office, through the legislative process, and wraps back around basically to where we are today. So our fiscal year 2022 budget that will start in July, really discussions and estimating, projecting started, you know, back basically last July, last August. So with Mr. Chairman, your budget subcommittee from last fall, we talked about a budget for the overall Gainesville and Parks Department that was just under $100 million. And that budget, with the requested increases that we put together and reviewed with the budget subcommittee, we were asking for budget growth of $9.7 million, which was a pretty big growth, you know, 9% plus for our department. Much more growth than we usually see with our department. But at the time, as we talked about and also presented to the full commission and the public last fall, was that growth was budget authority authorization to spend dollars, money that we had in hand. We were able to have, even through the year pandemic, very favorable camping and park entrance license sales. Fiscal year 2021 that we're in now also started the collection of the habitat stamp fees, and that generated $5 to $6 million a year. So we were asking for that budget authority, this $9.7 million at the time, so that we could spend those habitat dollars, do a lot of projects with that camping money and that park entrance license money. So we went through the regular process. But Mr. Chairman, where we end up is once we talk about the budget and what we foresee as the needs of the department, it goes into kind of the process during the legislative session, and additional budget changes are made. And these are budget changes that really impact like all state government agencies. So it's going to be a additional across the board stuff. So what we have for you today, Mr. Chairman, is just a quick summary of what those additional changes have been, adjustments since we talked to all of you last fall. And then we would come at the end of our presentation today and ask you all to adopt or approve the budgets that you have authority over. So, of course, in Gainesville and Parks, we have this unique situation where the administrative division, finance, legal counsel, secretary's office, that budget is authorized by the legislature, and the state parks division is authorized by the legislature. But the snowmobile trails budget and the wildlife division budgets are authorized by all of you. We kind of have this hybrid, and we would ask all of you to formally adopt that budget, are those budgets, three of them, when we're done here today. And then that would put us in place to actually have a set budget on July 1. So, Mr. Chairman, as we get to your packet, page 26 has a summary of the adjustments that we haven't brought in front of all of you or brought to the public. These are those adjustments that happen, like, across impact all of the state government agencies in South Dakota, and just what kind of the net changes are for those. So, Mr. Chairman, as I mentioned, what we did talk about last fall was about $9.7 million of growth in the budget. The summary here is going to add another $1 million worth of budget authority. And by budget authority, basically what it means is the authorization or approval to spend the dollars that the department generates. So those dollars will be hunting and fishing licenses, camping permits, those kind of things, park entrance licenses. So it's basically approval to spend those dollars into the next fiscal year. So, Mr. Chairman, our quick quick summary that we have on page 26 of your packet starts with captive insurance. So captive insurance, a good example, the building we're sitting in here today. Our Game Fish and Parks Department, very unique to many other state agencies. We have office locations and facilities located in every corner of this state. A lot of buildings and facilities, and absolutely many of those facilities basically warrant some good, fire liability type insurance, those types of things. So we do have insurance policies on a lot of facilities, including our good research facility right here. Statewide, so all the buildings and facilities, state government, Bureau of Administration works with insurance companies, negotiates those rates. Rates go up as they usually do with insurance. The impact to our agency for the hundreds of buildings across the state and significant ones at that we have insured, our insurance costs are going to go up. We project to be about $53,680. So from that perspective, that's a budget based on insurance rates that we would see increasing to start fiscal year 2022. Similar to that, we have some centralized services for the state of South Dakota government, including the Bureau of Administration, which is a lot like our janitorial services, billing for space rent, stuff like that in our state buildings. In PIER, we have some centralized finance and management services. That's the governor's budget office, the governor's accounting office. They bill for services. Of course, we have a centralized human resources for state government agencies and centralized IT. So as their costs go up for those agencies, for salaries and benefits and their own costs, they raise rates for all government agencies. Our impact is estimated to be about $64,000 for those central service billings. And then, Mr. Chairman, really the last three items to talk about really kind of all tied together. And it's a good problem to have, or a good issue to have to cover and come back and ask for additional budget authority when we're talking about salary increases for all those GFP employees out there. So across all of state government, through the budget process and through the legislative process, all state government employees starting July 1 will be getting an across-the-board salary increase of 2.4%. There's been years that we've come in front of you and we haven't needed to increase the budget at all for salaries because state government has had no growth. But this year, with dollars available, 2.4% across the board for all GFP employees. So that's a good starting point. That impact is estimated to be about $803,000 of increase for our GFP employees. On the other side, the health insurance plans. Health insurance is another one of those areas that's really tough to contain for any business out there, any organization, state government included. Health insurance for state government employees has really gone through a significant overhaul in the last number of months. There was a lot of debate during the legislative process this year during the session, and really the significant change has been that the insurance providers are really getting changed around for all state government employees. Currently, as we end this fiscal year, state employees basically have two choices for health insurance plans. Going forward, starting in July, there's four health insurance plans, and all state employees across all, the 15,000 or so state employees, we all had to enroll here last month and pick our new health insurance plans that were significantly different than what we had before. There's a couple pieces here to talk about. Most of the health insurance plans now include a premium where state employees are paying a piece out of pocket. That used to not be the case. Premiums were covered by the agency, by the department, and then you would pay for maybe covered dependents or your co-pays and things like that, your cost shares. But now many of the plans, three out of the four for sure, do have a premium that will be assessed to the employees basically each and every pay period, each and every month. However, the goal of these plans is that if the employee is covering an additional cost on those plans, the coverage, the plans, what you have access to should be much and much better, including the numbers of providers and things like that. So it's kind of a give and take on the health insurance plans. But really what it means is if we're shifting costs from the departments or from state government to some more costs going to the actual employees, that's actually a budget reduction. The estimated budget savings for our departments with our covered employees is $371,891. That's like, it's almost like a budget, a cost reduction here on our kind of summary sheet. With that, that's actually a cost that's coming out of the pocket of employees, but it's also being offset by the piece kind of at the bottom of page 26. In addition, on top of the 2.4% salary increase, state government went through and worked through the legislative process again and identified two additional ways where we're going to see GFP employees, all state government employees, getting additional raises on top of the 2.4%. One of them we're kind of calling the minimum salary range. State government went through like a salary review of all state government position types and job responsibilities and job duties a couple years ago. What state government found is just with going for some years without salary increases and those kind of things, we had a lot of state government employees that as we kind of set the ranges for certain job types, we had employees that were actually getting paid less than their range, than their salaries, their pay grade, or their tier. We might have an employee and the salary range might be $20 to $25 an hour. We had employees making $19 an hour. So with some of these health insurance savings, we're actually able to give these employees additional raises to at least get them to the minimum of their salary range, and then they can grow from there. So that's a win for state employees that are below the bottom of their pay grade. And then the last piece that happens as costs go up and inflation go up, what we've seen across all of state government is that over the last number of years, new employees getting hired have been getting hired at salary ranges closer and closer to the wages of the current employees. So it's been kind of decompressed, or you have employees that have been around for a number of years working in their positions, sometimes getting salary increases, sometimes not, and the new employees are pretty close to the old employees. So again, with additional dollars available, there was a tiered system that was worked out based on kind of years of service. And all current employees, any employee that had been on the job for a year longer, got an additional raise based on kind of years of service in their current position that would kind of spread those ranges out so that these new employees had more distance from the old employees in particular pay grades. That was across all types of pay grades and ranges and stuff as well. So even though health insurance costs are going up, there's some really good things going on with salaries and stuff for our employees. Mr. Chairman, when you add up all these pieces, we are literally just over $1 million of additional budget adjustments that are on top of that 9.7 for parks projects and habitat spending and things like that. So now we have this overall package that pushes the budget over $110 million in total and pushes that increase to over $10 million from the current fiscal year to what we're going to have starting on July 1st here. So, Mr. Chairman, that's the summary. We'll just take a couple more minutes and show you our kind of main program pages, and then we'll ask you to adopt three of them that you're authorized to do so when we're done here. Mr. Chairman, page 27 in your packet, this is the Division of Administration. So actually our commission expenses for meetings like this, they're included in here. My central finance office, legal counsel, our engineering section, communications, marketing and outreach, Office of the Secretary, a lot of those kind of administrative things for the department, they reside within this budget. The Division of Administration, as we get to July 1st here, that budget is expected to be $4.7,088,981. This budget is authorized by the legislature, so this one's good to go. No action needed from all of you, but it's good to kind of see what that costs out there for our agency. Another one that's kind of informational status for all of you is the State Parks and Recreation Operating Budget. That's the next page in your packet. That's page 28. This budget includes everything as you're seeing happening right outside the window right now, the maintenance and operations of every park and recreation lakeside use area across our state and within the state park system. This budget, again, informational for all of you, but has 250.2 full-time equivalents, or FTE, and that really equates to, you know, several hundred employees for the division. And the budget that's moving from $27.4 million to about $28.5 million by the time it's all said and done. Again, this budget's been approved by the governor's office and Budget Finance Office authorized by the legislature, so this one, again, is good to go for all of you. And Mr. Chairman, the last informational budget is the project budget. This is where we do all type of major projects, road projects, campground expansion projects, fishing piers and boat ramp repairs, anything that's really a capital development type project, an improvement project. It resides out of this budget for the state park system. The current budget here is just under $11.9 million, and we're moving that budget up to $13.3 million. Again, this one's been all authorized and approved. Growth in the budget, but again, money that's in hand to do more projects and put that money back on the ground based on where sales and use and utilization have been in those revenue areas for the State Parks Division. So, Mr. Chairman, the last three pages we're going through on your worksheet, page 30, 31, 32, these are the three pages that absolutely have, we'll be asking all of you to approve for the department so that we have a budget ready to go on July 1st. The budget for the Snowmobile Trails Program. So this is basically this budget includes two pieces, kind of those little stop signs and trails you might see in and around the ditches of eastern South Dakota. We do a lot of contract work with local snowmobile groups to facilitate that work, as well as our own staff maintaining all of those wonderful snowmobile trails in the Black Hills of South Dakota. So this budget currently at $1.3 million, and with just a few adjustments there, again, for some of those salary adjustments, health insurance, some fees, that budget's just going up by $8,100 to $1,394,451. And then this budget has, for a long, long time, had 9.1 budgeted FTE. That's the snowmobile trails budget. Mr. Chairman, then we go into the two budgets for our wildlife division. Page 31, 296 FTE. Again, several more employees than just the 296. We have part-timers and seasonals and interns, volunteers that roll into that big number as well. But the overall wildlife division budget has about $21.1 million currently of salaries and benefits, another $30.7 million for travel and contractual supplies and equipment purchases that get us to a current budget of $51,863,828. And this budget, as we've talked about, is growing pretty significantly based on some sales, some projects, and really that habitat stamp piece that we have been talking about since last fall that that we're now collecting for the first time here in fiscal year 2021. So the budget growth here, going from that $51.8 million to $59.9 million for the budget there, Mr. Chairman, a growth of just over $8 million in total for the budget authority there. And, of course, this budget has basically two sources. It's got your federal dollars, sport fish restoration, wildlife restoration, those are those taxes at the manufacturing level on all hunting and fishing equipment, guns, boats, life jackets, ammunition, all those things that roll back under formulas to the department from the federal government, along with the fees that the division generates on their own, too. So, Mr. Chairman, last page in our packet, page 32, Mr. Chairman, this is the project budget specifically for the Wildlife Division. No salaries or benefits here. This is really putting dollars on the ground. Current budget is $2,562,500. And then we are actually, just based on some of the projects we're proposing to do current year, directly we see a budget reduction of $10,000 there. So we're going to still stick to that $2.5 million budget for wildlife projects as we put dollars on the ground there. So, Mr. Chairman, that kind of rolls through very quickly those additional budget adjustments, summary of those that we wanted to bring in front of you. And then, basically, Mr. Chairman, those three pages, pages 30, 31, and 32. Mr. Chairman, we can take any questions you might have, or else then we'd ask for your favorable approval of pages 30, 31, and 32 of the budget for the department. We'll be ready to go for July 1st.
Thanks, Chris. Appreciate that. Does anybody have any questions for Chris this time? Commissioner Sharp.
Good presentation, Chris. Commissioner Sharker, could you go into a little bit of the detail for the increase in travel and contractual services on the wildlife side? That's,
yes, absolutely, Mr. Chairman. Very good point, Commissioner. Actually, we've got, and in full disclosure, what you have a lot of times with accounting offices and accounting procedures, generally accepted accounting principles, we always reserve the right to change our mind on how we do our accounting within state government. As we were closing our books last year, working with compliance auditors and stuff across state government, they asked that, like the fleet vehicles, when we have vehicles that are rented from the fleet or assigned to vehicles for our conservation officers or wildlife damage specialists, really what you have is, from an accounting compliance side, they asked that we start capturing all of those fleet costs. We used to capture them in contractual services. They asked that we just move those costs into the travel budget. So you see a big bump in travel, but it's just a repurposing of where those costs are in travel. So really what we have is we have an offsetting reduction in contractual and then an increase in travel, and that kind of offsets the two there. Of course, we do have more contractual service increases, but that's to spend those habitat dollars. So it's really accounting behind the scenes that really impacts the travel.
Go ahead. So what I'm hearing is I get the travel, the contractual services are actually then acquiring more habitat. Is what I'm hearing,
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Sharp. Absolutely. We've got a lot of different projects that Tom Kirschman and his division staff are working on basically within two pieces. You have your fishing license, where we're putting those habitat dollars assessed on fishing licenses to aquatic habitat, shorelines and water restoration, small dam repairs, a lot of them, those kind of things. So it's very much putting dollars on the ground on the aquatic side, and then on the terrestrial side, a lot of habitat projects. And then another piece that we can also throw in there, Mr. Chairman, which is very good to note as well, is additional public access acres. So as we do pieces like the James River CREP program that we currently have enrolled at about 80,000 acres up and down the Jim River in northeast South Dakota, we're able to go out and enroll an additional 20,000 acres and pay the fees using some of those habitat stamp dollars for access as well.
Sounds good. Sounds good for our forest. Thank you.
Mr. Chair. Yeah, thank you. Good report, Chris. On the, I just want to say on that tiered pay, catching that for the employee retention and for managers trying to keep employees to incentivize that. I'm glad you guys caught that and made that fix. And then on the healthcare reduction, good job. That's pretty rare to see that as a negative. But do you know what a percentage what that represents, that $300,000? What is that as a percentage of the total?
Yeah, give an example, Commissioner, Mr. Chairman. Today, as we went through the current fiscal year where we were paying basically all of the premium costs were paid by the department for every GFP state employee, we were right around $10,000 per employee. So what you're going to see there across everything is a reduction of hundreds of dollars more, like where the department isn't going to have to pay those dollars out in the premiums. But what you really do see, though, is those premium costs that the department was paying, they are shifting to the out-of-pocket cost of the employee. But then some of those decompression pay and those other pay incentives for just about every employee should offset those costs based on what health insurance plan you basically choose out there. So, yeah, you're going from, you know, that $10,000 range annually for premiums paid by the department to down around like $9,700 an employee.
Additional questions for Chris? Seeing none, do we can we put those all under one umbrella, or do we have to take three separate?
Mr. Chairman, you could adopt all three of those, because really what we'll do for that is we have those pages 30, 31, and 32 of your packet, and basically those are the levels. And what we do for all of you when we ask you to approve a budget, we match basically the same level that the legislature is, you know, does their approval of that for the Parks Division and Admin as well. So pages 31 and 32, you can pass them as a package.
Very well. With that said, Chair, to entertain a motion to adopt the 31-32 for the budget. Motion by Whitmire.
Second.
By Locken. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thanks, Chris.
Yep. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.